Shabbat Shalom. This is the day that the Most High has made, and we rejoice, and we are glad in it. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, the Awakening. I am the preacher. All praises to the Most High. We have a wonderful lesson for you today. We've been gone for a while, but it's good to be back. But we never stop telling of the goodness and preaching this word, speaking the truth, and exposing Satan, the lies, fraud that's all around us, and helping to continue to bring our people into the truth. I tell you, we thank the Most High for the truth and for the information age that Daniel prophesied would come about, when people would be receiving more information, and that the earth would begin to release the fragments from the Qumran caves and the hidden books, and the books that were banned and hidden from us would begin to reveal themselves, and we begin to pick them up and read them and connect the dots and put the pieces together to prophecy, which leads me to the message that I have for you today, which will probably be a three-part series called Let My People Go. And I feel that we are definitely in that time right now where we are demanding and have a great expectations and urgency. There's a yearning deep inside of us for us to be released into this next phase where the children of Israel, Eber Yasharala, will move into prominence and into the promise and the prophecy that's in the book of the second Exodus. We're going to get into that today. I'm not going to belabor the time, but we're going to move into that. We thank the Most High for mercy and grace and worship and praise. That's one thing I do miss from the Christian church, which we all came from. And, you know, I don't have a lot of bad things to say about. There's a lot going on right now, and I'm not going to address that with the blitzes and certain pastors, Geno Jennings. I've talked about them, but I'm starting to learn, especially from the series I'm getting ready to go into, is to some things we need to rebuke sharply. Some things we need to, as Isaiah 58 said, lift up our voice like a trumpet and show our people their transgressions. But what I want you to understand is everybody has a part to play. And when we get into Let My People Go, you're going to find out that Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God so that he could show his mighty hand and it be a witness to his people of his delivering power. So you never really understand the part that somebody else is playing that you may be combative against or you may dislike or that you don't understand. Everybody has their part to play, and this has been laid out and scripted in the mind of Yah. Nothing happens without him knowing. He just wants to see if we're going to pray, if we're going to endure, and if by free will we will choose him and be resilient so that we might get back to where we came from. And if you understand the Bible, you understand when I say get back to where we come from, it's like Jeremiah 1 and 5. Before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you and I called you and I sanctified you. You were created as a spirit eternal being early on in creation before you came to the earth to fulfill your assignment. And we got a lot of lost angels and spirits and souls out here who have lost their way due to drugs, fentanyl, sex, sins, debauchery, homosexuality, and making pacts with Satan, who's promised them many things, accoutrements in this world for the selling of their soul. Those are souls that lost their way and ended up going to a place that was not originally prepared for them, but prepared for Satan and the fallen angels and the fallen watchers. But hell enlarges itself daily, the Bible says, because of the bad choices that people are making. There's a heavenly eraser that's taking some names out of the book of life because of bad choices. But believe it or not, the Most High is all-knowing, and he knew. He knows the ones that will make the right choice and decision. It's we who don't know ourselves as well as he knows us. The worship thing is missing because in the kingdoms of heaven, where in the book of Enoch, Enoch said there was 10 layers of heaven. I find that interesting, and you'll You'll hear why a little bit later. But on each level, if you read the apocalypse of Isaiah, there was worship and praise going on, which is why our people are so inclined to be spiritually intrinsic and worshipful and loving to sing and loving music like that. There's something that happens when you're in a room full of our people and you turn on some Frankie Beverly and like, hey, here's something. And it's like a rapturous event. It's what happens. He gave us this gift of music because he created it for us to worship him. And that is the one thing I miss. And unfortunately, when worship would end on pagan Sundays, we were taught the wrong things. And those wrong teachings led us to believe that we were living a just, sanctified, Kodesh life, and we weren't, because we weren't keeping the Sabbath. We were still eating pork. So we were actually literally living in sin, but thank the Most High for grace, which is why Christ died, to help to deliver us from these pagan religions. You even had the Nation of Islam playing their part to deceive us, because the Bible said we worship wood and stone. But if you notice now, even Farrakhan has bowed out because he served his purpose of distracting us. We're in a different area right now, people. You need to know that prophetically. We're not in that age of deception. There was a group of people that were in the Christian church on Sunday living under grace that if you had told them to stop eating pork, do right, they would have done that. So what happened was we were tricked into 501c3 churches, and it switched to teaching about prosperity and blending with other nations. Martin Luther King's message was, we want to be able to sit at the counter with you and eat a sandwich. That's not even scriptural. That's against the Bible, the laws. We began to become covetous and idolatrous. But there was a group, and people need to stop saying that we just woke up. No. There was groups of Hebrews and Israelites. As a matter of fact, Nat Turner during slavery found out he was an Israelite, and that's why he rebelled. This thing goes far back of people who awakened. But the awakening of Judah is very vast right now. And say it just happened within the last 15 or 20 years, no, you're mistaken. He's always had a remnant. He has always had a remnant that gave him true worship and praise, kept the holy feast days and the holy Sabbath. He's always had a remnant in the earth. You just didn't know about it because YouTube wasn't here. So let's not get it twisted. I thank him for grace and mercy because it's brought me to this point. And I'll never stop using the gifts of worship and song and gratitude to praise him and thank him. And we should keep that aspect in our lives because he loves to be worshiped and praised. As a matter of fact, he inhabits the praises of Israel. Scripture tells us that in Psalms. He inhabits the praises, and when you praise him, that's when his presence shows up. That's when he's there, and many of us don't understand that aspect, that component. It's very important. I'm not going to belabor the time because we're going to go in sections today. At the latter part of the broadcast, we'll get into the Blueprint for Life segment, where we'll look at some of the laws that talk about things that how we should conduct ourselves in lives, in life. That's one of the main proponents of Blueprint for Life. But first, we're going to get into Let My People Go. Well, I should say secondly, because I want to read about the Sabbath in the book of Jubilees. Today, I'm going to come out of Jubilees in my series of Let My People Go, which is a prophetic series. I want to put this out. I feel like the Ruach HaKodesh is inspiring me to understand the second Exodus and how it will unfold. It's a look at the Mosaic account of the original Exodus through the book of Jasher. And we're going to go to Jasher, the 79th chapter. But the thing is that the Bible speaks of the second gathering, which is the second Exodus from this final captivity. And I think you're going to be amazed to see how this thing is unfolding. And hopefully it will encourage you to continue to endure and have faith. We'll say have a word of prayer towards the end of the show. But I pray that all of my family, brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth are enduring, doing well, maintaining, being repentant, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, keeping your eyes on the prize, staying away from fear, and not letting the media program you or socialize you, keeping your head in the book and your knees down and in prayer constantly. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Let's serve our days, for we are definitely in the end of days. Okay, let's go to this being the Shabbat. Let's look at the book of, I want to read something to you out of the book of Jubilees, the 50th chapter. It's interesting that this is in the 50th chapter, which is Pentecost. You start at the fifth verse. And the Jubilees will pass by until Israel is cleansed from all guilt of fornication and uncleanness and pollution and sin and error, and dwelleth with confidence in all the land. And there will be no more a Satan or any evil one, and the land will be clean from that time forevermore. That this being in the 50th chapter and the 5th verse, it's monumental. This is so prophetic. This is an end-time prophecy in Jubilees, and this ties into let my people go. I'm going to read the rest of this chapter, but I just want you to see that. Let me read this again. And the Jubilees will pass by. We are in the final Jubilee now, brothers and sisters, if you know the study. I'm not going into that right now. This is that final year of Jubilee where debts are to be paid. This is so exciting. And the Jubilees will pass by until all Israel, that being the seed line, bloodline, E1B1A family, is cleansed from all guilt of fornication. These are key points. Number one, the guilt of fornication. That's not just you laying with another piece of flesh. That's you being in these pagan religions, because fornicating is turning your back on your husband. We are the bride of Christ. He's coming for the bride. The bridegroom is coming for the bride that has oil in her lamp. But we have to be cleansed. And so we're seeing a process where we're being extracted from pagan beliefs and religions. And we're starting to understand how this came upon us. And it's simple to see that Christianity was beaten into us, but we did not have a desire to go past the 400 years to understand who were we before this all transpired. And now the books, the information is all out there. Because these people told on themselves in the 1700s and 1800s in their books, because they supposed that we would never, or they would never allow us to get to a point of reading and understanding. They hung us for reading and teaching each other to read because the information was so vital. Uncleanness and pollution and sin and error. We were in error in the Christian church. We made so many mistakes. Thank the Father for not only grace, but he said, I blink upon ignorance. I'll look the other way. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it didn't say it wasn't there. It's just that some people chose not to look towards the knowledge or seek it out. And there were many roadblocks and stumbling blocks to keep you from looking towards the knowledge. You decided to stick with tradition, methodologies, because it was comforting. And that's called religion. So you learned a form of bondage, religion, that held you captive in a cycle. And the truth comes to set you free. John 8 chapter. You got to know that the truth shall set you free. And the truth will break you from habitual cycles. You go into a conversion process. And the only way you can be converted is Psalms 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. You used to be simple-minded, making errors, mistakes, pollution, and living in sin. So the Sunday service was wonderful when all the singing was happening. It was rapturous because it was indicative of what happens in the heavens every day before the Father. But you began to live in error as soon as the service was over. And you know, the thing about church is that Esau was so slick that he forced us to have worship on the first day by letting us come out of the cotton field of working for 18 hours. That was the only 5 hours we could worship freely with an overseer in there watching to make sure we didn't tell the people they were the children of Israel or try to free their minds too much. All they could do is buck, shout, and do gibberish and appease their flesh. But no information, vital information, or knowledge was allowed to be given during these Sunday services. They only had 3 sermons they could preach. Forgive your slave master. You'll get your riches in the sweet by and by. And forgive and forget and turn the other cheek to keep the people in bondage. Number 5, I want to get to 6 through 9, but I'm so stuck right here with Jubilees and this being our final Jubilee and this prophetic verse 5 that it says, there will be no more a Satan or any evil one, and the Lamb will be clean from that time forevermore. We are getting ready to experience that, people. Can you imagine with me for a minute? No more Satan and no more evil in the earth. No more mass shootings, killings, adultery, fornication, kidnaps, treachery, deceit, stealing, crazy thoughts. These crazy thoughts won't come anymore that you have to rebuke and cast down. Lust will not be in the air where you look at someone, where you got to look at every piece of flesh with lust. Lust is so prevalent right now, it's just flowing like the ocean. People just walk around all day with lust on their minds, which is why you got to be cognizant of the fact of how you carry yourself so that you don't participate in it in any form, which is why the women must wear modest apparel. And that includes men now, too, because now people are trying to tip the same sex, not just the opposite sex. And so this androgyny and all this stuff that's going on, it's all about seduction. Lust is just running rampant because Satan is running rampant. But imagine wiping all of that out, and the Lamb will be clean from that time forevermore. Let's move into the Shabbat part, verse 6. And behold the commandment regarding the Sabbaths. I have written them down for thee and all the judgments of its laws. 6 days will thou labor, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no manner of work. That's on today. And your sons and your men servants, anybody who works for you, does anything for you, I don't care if it's the maintenance man coming to try to fix the sink. You're not supposed to do that. Your maid servants, people washing your clothes, cooking for you, going to restaurants to be served, absolutely nothing. And all your cattle and the sojourner also who is with you. That's like if somebody comes to visit you. They come to your house, sit down, we're not working, we're chilling, and you're going to get in these scriptures. And we're going to talk about the Most High. We're not going to gossip. We're not going to do no gather abroad, sharing false witness. Verse 8, and the man that doeth any work on it shall die. Now, that's grace, and that's why Christ died, because he delivered us from the curse of the law. This is one of the curses. You broke this thing, you died. You were stoned. You were killed. Y'all don't know the Most High, who he is, the Most High Yah. But because of the grace, this is why people still today say, that can't be kept. No, it can be kept. And you should die trying instead of not doing it at all. Because that's how serious this is. The day, whoever lieth with his wife, whoever says he will do something on it, that he will set out on a journey thereon in regard to any buying or selling, and whoever draweth water thereon which he had not prepared for himself on the sixth day, and whosoever taketh up any burden to carry it out of his tent or out of his house shall die. That means that you weren't supposed to be carrying stuff out your house. That means like not emptying the garbage. That means like everything, brothers and sisters, according to the Shabbat, and this right here is supposed to be prepared on that Friday before. Friday is a preparation day. You're supposed to have your entire meal, your coffee, your juice, everything already prepared, everything. And then we just skip by the fact that it says you're not supposed to lay with your spouse on the Shabbat because that's seeking your own pleasure. So there it is there. It's in the book of Jubilees, the 50th chapter, the 8th verse. You don't lie with your wife. And you're not supposed to make a plan to go to someone's house or whatever. And I know it's tough on a lot of you, but you're going to have to suck it up because your family will call you like, oh, come by. We got barbecue today. We playing dominoes. You can't do it. When you turn them down, you are actually standing on not only on the word, but it's like you're showing them that this is serious. You're preaching, you're teaching, you're being a witness by doing it and telling people no. Because the world has created Saturday to be the biggest day to kick it, to go experience some park, some feature, or, you know, let's go hiking, let's go do this. They'll try to trick you, too. They'll make you say it's something with nature and do all that. But he said, do nothing. Not supposed to be cooking. Everything's supposed to be already prepared. You should go get you some cereal, some nuts, and be ready for the day, because that's about it. And you should be glad about it, because this is one day you'd be like, I'm not doing a thing. Verse 9, you shall do no work whatever on the Sabbath day, save that you have prepared for yourselves on the sixth day, so as to eat and drink and rest and keep Sabbath from all work on that day, and to bless the Most High Yah, who has given you a day of festival, and it's a holy day and a day of the holy kingdom. For all Israel is this day among their days forever. You are in sync with the heavenly tablets and the heavenly kingdom and all your brothers and sisters on the earth who are keeping it. You sync up. It's a holy convocation. You lock in with each other by doing the same thing, nothing but worshiping the Most High. All praises to the Most High. When we come back, we're going to start this Let My People Go so that you can understand the prophetic aspect of discerning the time we're living in and how this thing will unfold. Be the preacher. We're going to move into part two of this thing. All praises to the Most High for the holy shofar. Wanted that to be blown after the understanding of the Shabbat and also the understanding of Jubilees 50 and 5. That was the prophecy for now. We're getting ready to move into that. It's coming. I know a lot of you don't believe it. I know a lot of you don't believe it because we're living in a world full of scoffers that are saying, where's your God? There is no God but the God of artificial intelligence and science. So I understand. I suggest you keep the faith. Because he said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? There's a reason he said that. So you've got to have faith and believe and trust and wait patiently. Here's the patience of the saints. We keep the commandments and wait. Enjoy your life in the process, but you wait. Before I get into Let My People Go, let me explain what I was saying to you about the second Exodus. The children of Israel left Egypt on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and crossed through the Red Sea on the last or seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was the first Exodus. The Bible prophets speak of a greater and a second Exodus to occur in the last days. where Yah's people who've been scattered throughout the nations, the four corners of the earth, will be set free from their spiritual, pay attention, economic, and political enslavement in these other nations, which are under the control of Babylon the Great. There's a lot to learn on this subject, and this is the prophecy, what I'm proclaiming today, and I want you to hear. It's an important subject for us to study and break down, which is why I'm going to do this in parts. And I'm going to look at the account of Moses out of Jasher, and not out of Genesis this time, or Exodus, those books. We're going to go to the book of Jasher, but we're going to take our time with this. That's why I said I'm going to do a part one, part two, part three. That second Exodus pretty much has a lot to do with Jeremiah 30:18 through 20, where it says that he will destroy the nations that were scattered in, all of them. Israel and Judah are scattered in. He will correct Israel and Judah in measure. Got to get us straight, because many will be purged out. He's got to purge out the rebels. But when the punishment is done, he's going to bring his people back into the land that he promised us and that he's going to give us, and that's the great gathering. So the second Exodus will be one by one bringing us out. He don't need no camp's help. He don't need no passport. This is man stuff. Don't get caught up in that foolishness. He's supernaturally going to bring us out. And if you need to study how this transpired, and I'm going to help you with that. When we came out of the first Exodus, Egypt, which was the dominant force at that time in civilization, a model city. And the way it reads in the KJV, you think all this stuff happened in 1 week. This thing happened over years, the rollout of the first Exodus. So as we read it, I'm going to explain to you how the second Exodus, we have had to learn to be patient with the rollout. But what I want you to pay attention to is how I mentioned that the world will be set free from this bondage spiritually, economically, and politically. And those are the ways that they're enslaving us. And you're starting to see breakings in all these areas. And I strongly believe that it will not be one, because America did set on killing one if one rises up. That's the FBI's credo. Don't let a savior rise amongst them. I believe as a group of people spiritually in these distinct areas, we'll begin to see the cracking of the enslavement and we'll rise cohesively as a unit. And there will be leaders. Like I said, there's always been a remnant. There'll be 144,000. There won't be one. The only one that we're focused on is Christ when he breaks through those clouds. There's not going to be one. Every time there was one, he was killed and murdered. Keep your eyes on the prize. So what I am trying to get you to understand is that the second Exodus will be deliverance in all these areas. Now, we're going to go to this one chapter today, but I want you to know that Moses told Pharaoh, "Let my people go 10 times." And he said no. And that's what we're going to get into. There were 10 times that the government aspect of that civilization received a request to discontinue the enslavement of a particular people that provided the substratum and the structure of that civilization, because you didn't want them to be a part. I was amazed to find out just how enslaved we are as a people. Of course, all of society is moving towards enslavement with this I forgot what they call it, stipend income that they want to give everyone as they destroy the middle class, upper middle class, and just have upper class and high class and lower class, and put everybody in some type of governmental income. And then, you know, how the people of the nation of Yasharal Eber, our people. They're trying to demonize Hebrew Israelites, so we'll just say Eber Yasharal, because that's a proper enunciation, and how they despise us, don't like us, but don't want to let us go. They still want us to play in their sports leagues, entertain them, and amuse them, but despise you, hate you. And when I found out about the abortions, when, of course, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, and even before Planned Parenthood, they were experimenting on the slave woman, the black woman, the whole gynecological society was built on what the experiments they did on black slave women. And I'm just now also finding out that since if they can't kill the babies through abortion, over 40 million, they want to make sure that the curse that's on us from Adam and Eve, that it mostly happens to black people. Women, black women are being neglected in hospitals and are dying after having their children. It's like there is no care or concern for our people, but when they need us, you know, they love it when you're an entertainer or when you can provide a service or when you, you know, another thing your captor gets off on is when you try and emulate them to think that they will accept you if you act like them, take on their characteristics. We have many names for it, but I don't want to get off into all that today. I want to keep the focus. So there's so many different areas where we're enslaved, and I was complaining about the reparations, but listen to this. The Bible tells us, where did I write this down at? The Bible tells us, I believe it was, give me one second. It says that you will not go out empty. You will not go out empty. And the scripture can be found in Exodus 3 and 21. Listen to this. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, their captors, and it shall come to pass that when you go, when after the 10th time, and Pharaoh and them get sick and tired because I killed all the firstborn, you shall not go out empty. You're going to be paid. They're going to say, take everything. He's going to give you favor, and they're going to be like, please go. Brothers and sisters, there's an enslavement to our people. You're being enslaved politically, spiritually, economically, not just the drugs and the bad, vicious cycles of being in gangs and turning up and twerking and getting high, but you are captive. There's nowhere for you to go, and they don't want to give you the money I'm paying you, reparations, and people have been asking for years. And now I'm prophetically starting to get it and understand why this conversation has been around for years, because I'll just go ahead and get straight into it. I don't have to belabor the time with this or stretch it out. They don't want to pay you because the word reparations means independence. When I pay you, I allow you to incur independence. You are no longer dependent, because to pay reparations is the act or process of making amends for a wrong, something done or money paid to make amends or compensate for wrong. So that's acknowledging that you were wrong, and it's compensation or remuneration as for damage or economic loss required for a nation defeated. Reparation is a repairing or keeping in repair. The act of making, like I said, making amends and giving satisfaction. So when you acknowledge a wrong, you have to release. When we left Egypt, we left with reparation. I just read it for you. It said, you will not go out empty. When everything is broken, brothers and sisters, the forces of the Gentiles, and that's Bible, will be turned over to you. These people are going to be paying you. We'll be in the wilderness getting purged out, but we'll be so ever grateful and thankful. But can you imagine when they have to acknowledge who you are as a people, what that's going to be like? I'm not going to, you know, I salute all of you that are handling your assignments, approaching the people, letting the people know who's who, who's what, that the churches are wrong, taking advantage of people, I salute you. But there are many that don't want to know who we are as a people and let go of Sunday service because they don't want to go. They don't want to leave Egypt. And we saw that in the wilderness. There are people who I don't want to know because I don't want to go. Make that a T-shirt. Many people don't want to know about this truth, this message, the commandments, returning, Jubilees, 50 and 5. I don't want to go, no, because I don't want to go. I don't care about the fact that they're bringing immigrants in to take my position and knock me down the ladder so that I can't get what I want to get. What I care about is the prophecy saying I'm going to get what I'm going to get. You can bring those people in. You've done it from the beginning of time with the civil rights law. As soon as that was enacted, it was given to everybody else, and you brought more foreigners in. As soon as you so-called set the slaves free, you brought foreigners in from other lands, and that's why they sit up here and say, what about us? What about us? Our lives matter too. Your life matters. But there is a chosen seed line in the land that are called the children of Israel, God's people. From Babylon, you, if you want my position of slavery, you can have to labor for these so-called elites, these Edomites. You can have that. I'm waiting on the ultimate deliverance, which is coming. Let my people go. So that was my pretext for where we're going in the scripture today. I just wanted you to understand that. Reparations is a form of independence and repenting and saying, I'm sorry, take it, go, you're free. We want to make amends. No, they are determined and they teach Freemasons in Prince Hall, never let that man from the Dark Ages with that melanin get above you again. Keep him down. As long as you keep him down, we remain wealthy. Who are the we? Psalms 83. All of the Gentile nations that are confederate against us and said, let us make the name of Israel no more. Let's wipe it out. Which was, once again, Yasharah. Not to be confused with the synagogue of Satan that parlays around here saying they're Israel. Be Israel. We are the children of Yasharala, Eber. Trying to demonize our name and put it on the book as a hate group. Yeah, we hate sin and we hate Satan. And we hate what you stand for and we hate what you're doing to our people. If that makes me a hate group, then I hate. But when you can do the right thing, you can sojourn amongst us. Check this out. Any stranger that sojourn amongst us, we allow it because you come over to us and conform all of our laws that come from our God, our holy days, our dietary laws, the what you do with the kids, the children when they're born on the eighth day. You must conform to that. You must conform to everything we do. Anything outside of that, we don't want nothing to do with it. You want to put a stigma on that? Go for it, because you hate us with a passion. And it's time to let us go. Let's get to the scripture, because I just wanted to give you a foundation so that you'd understand this let my people go, this reparations, once again, the act of making amends. And understanding what that has to do with making amends. We're talking about the government dispersing just like they did everyone else. That's an acknowledging. And your truth about who we are as a people is one of the biggest kept secrets in the whole world. It's a matter of national security. Let's go to the book of Jasher, chapter 78. And we're just going to do a few scriptures today. And Most High willing, we'll pick up next week with part two of Let My People Go. Once again, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh 10 times. And you already know that in between each one of those times, there were plagues. With everything you see going on, you shouldn't worry. Unless you have made the wrong decision and sided with this world and say, I'm going to stay in Egypt. I want to stay in Babylon. I'm down with Babylon. I'm down with Babylon's solutions. I'm down with Babylon's sorcery. I want what Babylon has to offer. Now, I want what the Most High said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the things I have prepared for my people. I want what Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, this world calls it, said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. That New Jerusalem. So let's get into it. Jasher 78. I think I want to start. I'm going to go down a little. No, I'm sorry. Jasher 79. 79th chapter. We're going to skip down a little bit to verse 20. And Moses and Aaron rose up early on the next day, and they went to the house of Pharaoh and took in their hands the stick of Yah. And when they came to the king's gate, two young lions were confined there with iron instruments, and no person went out or came in from before them unless those whom the king ordered to come. When the conjurers came and withdrew the lions by their incantations, and this brought them to the king. And Moses hastened and lifted up the stick upon the lions, and he loosed them. And Moses and Aaron came into the king's house. Verse 23, the lions also came with them in joy, and they followed them and rejoiced as a dog rejoices over his master when he comes from the field. And when Pharaoh saw this thing, he was astonished at it, and he was greatly terrified at the report, for their appearance, Moses and Aaron, was like the appearance of the children of Yah. And Pharaoh said to Moses, what do you require? Now, let me pause again. I want you to pay close attention because this is the beginning of the first request to let my people go. First, they had to go buy two lions, which they brought in to check. And the lions began to act like puppies around Aaron and Moses and followed them into the king's court, which had Pharaoh's mouth wide open. I want you to pay close prophetic attention to all of this as we are looking at the second Exodus. And I want you to see how things roll out. There are things that this represents spiritually as well and that we've seen. But nevertheless, because, you know, I want you to know Bible prophecy was taught in a certain way by these Edomites, these commentaries back in Christianity days and in churches to throw us off so that we wouldn't see things coming the way they are unfolding right now, especially that being the mark of the beast and the chip and how things are rolling out. I make it clear all the time. The way it was taught was it just didn't make any sense that you would speak of one man as being an antichrist popping up on the Tonight Show, announcing who he is, and then saying, I'm going to fly to Israel and sit in this new temple. And everybody's like, see, I told you that. Come on, man. And I'm not trying to be funny. And everybody already knew about these chips, and everybody's like, oh, here it comes. And Nobody's gonna allow an army to come in and make them, force them to put something in their body that they're going to be able to rip out with their own hands. Or talk about, are you going to take the guillotine? We already know we got people willing to die. And if they're willing to die at the guillotine, they're willing to make sure there's 300 million guns in America. These people will shoot if you come banging on their door talking about, I'm taking you to a camp and I'm going to put a chip in you. Nobody was going for that, so they knew they had to come up with a campaign and a solution masking what's actually in the solution, which is actually connecting you to transhumanism. But I digress. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm reading. That's why I'm breaking this up in parts, and we're going to do one chapter as we look at the 10 times that Pharaoh was told, let these people go. And they're getting edgy right now. That's why there's so many distractions, because they are trying to avoid the conversation. Give them Juneteenth. Give them this. Give them some money. They just keep going because the pressure is being put on them that you can't continue to not acknowledge who the people of Yah are and hold them in contempt. Here we go. And when Pharaoh saw this thing, he was astonished at it. Chapter 79, verse 24. And let's see, what did I leave off? That they may serve me. And Pharaoh said to Moses, what do you want? And they asked him, saying, the Most High Yah, the God of the Hebrews, has sent us to thee to say, let my people go. Send forth my people that they might serve me. And when Pharaoh heard their words, he was greatly terrified by them. And he said to them, go today and come back tomorrow. And they went ahead. They did according to the word of the king. And when they had gone, Pharaoh sent for Balaam the magician and to Jannes and Jambres his sons and to all the magicians and conjurers and counselors which belonged to the king. And they all came and sat before the king. And the king told them all the words which Moses and his brother Aaron had spoken to him. And the magician said to the king, but how came the men to thee on account of the lions which were confined at the gate? And the king said, because they lifted up their rod against the lions and they loosed them. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And came to me, and the lions also rejoiced with them as a dog rejoices to meet his master. And Balaam the son of Beor the magician answered the king, saying, these are none else than magicians like ourselves. I want to say something to you. As soon people can try and play down 400 years of captivity from the time the first slave hit the American shores in 1619 till 2019, but I'll tell you this, all hell broke loose, laws were put in place, and they were like, all bets are off now. Release the virus and get the shot ready. All of that happened as soon as we reached the 400 years. You could play it down if you want, but I'm not playing it down. It was like, time's up. We don't care if they know. Let's move according with our plan. Satan, his agenda, and his people. Back to the story. That was the first time he was asked. Let me go to the 31st verse. Now, therefore, send for them and let them come, and we will try them. And the king did so. And in the morning, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron to come before the king. And they took the rod of God and came to the king and spoke to him, saying, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, send my people that they may serve me. This was the next day, second time. And the king said to them, but who will believe you that you are the messengers of Yah and that you come to me by his order? Now, therefore, give a wonder or a sign in this matter, and then the words which you speak will be believed. And Aaron hastened and threw the rod out of his hand before Pharaoh and before his servants, and the rod turned into a serpent. And the sorcerers saw this, and they cast each man his rod upon the ground, and they became serpents. You see what the world will do. Signs and wonders, as the Antichrist is doing. There are signs and wonders happening all around you in the name of CERN, weather modification, HARP, and they're playing with the weather, trying to play God. And there's things happening all around you, and there's sorceries and medications, trying to emulate God, play God. I digress. Verse 38, and the serpent of Aaron's rod lifted up his head and opened its mouth to swallow the rods of the magicians. On this note, let me say this too. The role that Moses and Aaron played in the first Exodus, however this is playing out for the second Exodus, it doesn't necessarily have to be televised on TV or you know. It's happening, and something might be happening under the cover that you're not even aware of, or spiritually, or without being. There are so many prophecies being fulfilled that they make sure that it's kept off TV and off the news. There are so many prophets that are speaking a word and saying, do this to people. They're not going to tell you this and broadcast this and advertise this. You just need to play your part. And we're doing that today by prophesying that we're in the advent of the second Exodus. Verse 39. And Balaam the magician answered and said, this thing has been from the days of old that a serpent should swallow its fellow and that living things devour each other. So he played it down, the miracle power working of Yah. Okay. Now, therefore, restore it to a rod as it was at first, and we will also restore our rods as they were at first. And if thy rod shall swallow our rods, then shall we know that the spirit of Yah is in thee. And if not, thou art only an artificer like us. And Aaron hastened and stretched forth his hand and caught hold of the serpent's tail, and it became a rod in his hand. And the sorcerers did the like with their rods. And they got hold each man of the tail of his serpent, and they became rods as at first. And when they were stored to rods, the rod of Aaron swallowed up their rods. And when the king saw this thing, he ordered the book of records that related to the kings of Egypt to be brought. And they brought the book of records, the chronicles of the kings of Egypt, in which all the idols of Egypt were inscribed. They thought of finding their in name of Jehovah, but they found it not. Now, this book says Jehovah, but what they were looking for was Ayah. Some people say Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya, because they came in saying that the one who sent us, he is the great I am that I am, which in the Hebrew tongue is Ayah, Ashar, Ayah, Ayah. And Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, behold, I have not found the name of your God written in this book, and his name I know not. And the counselors and wise men answered the king, we have heard that the God of the Hebrews is a son of the wise, the son of ancient kings. And Pharaoh turned to Moses and Aaron and said to them, I know not the Lord whom you have declared, neither will I send his people. And they answered and said to the king, the Lord God of gods is his name. And he proclaimed his name over us from the days of our ancestors and sent us saying, go to Pharaoh and say unto him, send my people that they may serve me. Now, therefore, send us that we may take a journey for 3 days in the wilderness and there may sacrifice to him. For from the days of our going down to Egypt, he has not taken from our hands either burnt offering, oblation, or sacrifice. They just were asking for, just let us go for 3 days so we can go serve our God. Skip to verse 49. And Pharaoh said to them, tell me now power and his might. And they said to him, he created the heavens and the earth, the seas and all the fish. He formed the light. He created the darkness, caused rain upon the earth and watered it and made the herbage and grass to sprout. He created man and beast and the animals of the forest, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And by his mouth they live and die. Surely he created thee in thy mother's womb and put into thee the breath of life and reared thee and placed thee upon the royal throne of Egypt. And he will take thy breath and soul from thee and return thee to the ground which thou was taken. And the anger of the king was kindled at their words. And he said to them, but who amongst all the gods of nations can do this? My river is my own, and I have made it for myself. And he drove them from him, and he ordered the labor upon Israel to be even more severe than it was yesterday and before. This means times got hard. People had to work harder, earn less, and were wore out. Sound like what's going on right now? Absolutely. Times are being made tough, called inflation. Being blamed on everything else but the truth of what's taking place, squeezing you out. There's nothing new under the sun. Verse 53, and Moses and Aaron went out from the king's presence, and they saw the children of Israel in an evil condition, for the taskmasters had made their labor exceedingly heavy. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, why hast thou ill-treated your people? For since I came to speak to Pharaoh, what thou didst send me for, he has exceedingly ill-used the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, thou will see that with an outstretched hand and heavy plagues, Pharaoh will send the children of Israel from this land. And Moses and Aaron dwelt amongst their brethren, the children of Israel, in Egypt. And as for the children of Israel, the Egyptians embittered their lives with heavy work, which they imposed upon them. I'm going to read the first verse of chapter 80. And at the end of 2 years, the Lord again sent Moses to Pharaoh to bring forth the children of Israel to send them out of the land of Egypt. So, brothers and sisters, the way it happened in that movie, and it happens in the King James Bible, this thing folded out over time. And as we stop there for today, they asked twice, and then there was another 2 years in between the next asking. Let's not forget there was 10 askings. us asking for the reparations, proving that we're children of the slaves, is a part of this process. Because I just read to you out of Exodus, you will not go out empty, and there will be a gathering. And the Most High is going to do this. He has to do it. We can't do it. And all these people talking about, I got land, and I'm going to be able to feed you, I'm going to take care of you. You are not my Savior. And my dependence is not upon you. I'm trusting him to bring me out and to see me through. You've got to be kidding me talking to me like that. That means I don't believe in the word or trust in the word. You are not my Savior. Sorry, I digress. I don't want to go off on a tangent in that area. We are at the advent of the second Exodus. Let my people go. This is prophetic, brothers and sisters. I need you to spread this. We're going to pick it up next week so that we can break down how we see plagues being released, sickness. I don't get all scared, go jump in line to get an injection because you tell me about something that has to do with monkeys. You've got to be kidding me. That's because of you and how you're living. That's because of your choice, your allegiance to be in Sodom and Gomorrah and Egypt and the ways of the world turn up. I'm living Kodesh, set apart. So let's understand these things. And all praises to the Most High. Let's take a brief break. We're going to close out with something that should be edifying towards our blueprint for our life, something that we can take throughout the week, our footsteps, as we watch our steps and how we sojourn in this earth. Be right back in about 30 seconds. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome back. Blueprint for Life. If you have not been with us from the beginning, then you'll just have to listen to the rebroadcast and go back and check it out, which is the title of the lesson today was Let My People Go. There is a prophetic voice that is telling these governments to let us go. Give us our independence. Acknowledge who we are and repent for your wrongs. And this will culminate with the return of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. Y'all don't need nothing right now because you'll think that this is your Jerusalem and you'll live like kings here. And not many of us know how to walk with finances and not sin. I think we're going to read about that right now. So let's get into this and we can close out in a word of prayer. Let's go to Sirach 31. Some earthly wisdom on how to conduct ourselves. This is found in the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus. I want to read it out of the Common English Bible because that's on the Bible app. On the Bible app, you can actually find the Apocrypha if you go to Common English Bible, CEB. It's there. So you do carry the Apocrypha. And as many of you probably don't know, the original 1611 had the Apocrypha and was taken out 1770-something, I can't recall. Right now, Council of Nicaea said there's too much information in those books. These people will wake up too quick. Take these books out. Nevertheless, let's get some of this common wisdom, and then we'll close out. Chapter 31, verse 1. Sleeplessness over wealth makes the body waste away, and anxiety about wealth keeps sleep away. Worrying about your money, worrying about your job. Worry will keep you awake, and serious illness will chase sleep away. Rich people have worked to accumulate money, and when they rest, they fill themselves with their luxuries. Poor people have worked to eke out a living, and when they rest, they become needy again. Verse 5, whoever loves gold won't be declared just. Wow, you will not be justified, righteous, set apart. And whoever pursues profits, who's constantly trying to make a profit or gain, will be led astray by those profits. Verse 6, many have been ruined because of gold, and their destruction has met them head on. It's a stumbling block for those who are possessed by it, and it will take every senseless person captive. Happy are the rich who are without blame and who don't follow after gold. Who are they? So that we might praise them. They have done wonders among the people. That right there is those that have money. They're not possessed by it. And they take care of their people. And they do things in the community to take care of their people, not just looking out for themselves. So he knows those whom he can bless. It's those with an open hand, not a clutched fist, towards the widows, fatherless, hungry, and disenfranchised, not the greedy. Verse 10. Who has been tested by wealth and been found perfect? For them, it will be a reason to boast. Who had the power to sin and didn't and could do evil but didn't? That's what happened with money. Because if you think about it, every time you get money, it's time for vacation or time to go to Vegas or time to splurge or to indulge in your fantasies or your lusts. There are not many of you that know how to put up the money and to try and save it or wait for the Most High to tell you how to use it or who to bless. Everybody says, oh, I'm going to give money to my family. There's people in your family who are drug addicts, drunks, adulterers, and you give them money, you're going to enhance their sins. The Most High didn't want you to give them money. You see what I'm saying? You'll be tested by wealth. You are tested by wealth. And he's only going to bless you when the people who understand what the purpose of money is in this earth, who are trying to live righteous. I'll tell you now what this lottery is like, about 600 million, 300 million. There are countries that don't have that. There's no way in the world I would want that money. Understanding how many FBI, CIA agents and undercover robbers and running around here, you'll never have freedom again. So that's why we learn to be content with what we have and know the Most High will take care of all of our needs. You know, of course, we'd like to have some things so we could do some things for our children, because that's prophesied in the Bible, or live a little more comfortably, but we're not setting up shop here on earth. That takes me back to the reparations portion. You know, I know when it's going to happen, like the first Exodus. You shall not go out empty when you get delivered and I get ready to take you into your land. Brothers and sisters, we're going into a land. I digress. Verse 11, the possessions of such people will be secure. The ones that take care and feed people and do all these wonderful things. That's so powerful right there, that first part of 31, which is why I want to share this with you. Chapter 31, I thought it was so rich as far as blueprint for life. Then it goes into, this is interesting, behavior at meals. This is fun stuff. Verse 12, have you been seated at a magnificent table? Well, don't be greedy as you sit there, and don't say, look how much food there is. Y'all love buffets. Verse 13, remember, a greedy eye is a bad thing. What has been created more greedy than the eye? For this reason, every face sheds tears. Don't reach out your hand for whatever you see. And don't crowd your dinner companion by reaching into the same bowl. Put yourself in your companion's place and be considerate in everything. Eat what's put, this is something you need to teach your children. Eat what's put in front of you like a normal human being. Don't chew rudely or you will be hated. Be the first to stop to show your good breeding, and don't be gluttonous. Otherwise, you will offend people and gladly offend, of course. If you have been seated with a lot of people, don't help yourself before they do. A little food is more than enough for well-educated people. They won't be gasping for breath when they lie down to sleep. Healthy sleep depends on not stuffing yourself. Such people arise early and feel good. The gluttons suffer the pains of insomnia, nausea, and colic. Verse 21, if you've overstuffed yourself, get up and vomit far away. Feel better. Listen to me, my child, and don't show me contempt. And in the end, you will understand what I'm saying. Be careful in everything you do, and you will never fall sick. Never. Verse 23, people will bless those who are generous with bread. They give reliable testimony to the excellence of such people. The city will murmur about those who are stingy with their bread, giving accurate witness to the wickedness of such people. Don't demonstrate your bravado in wine drinking, because wine has destroyed many. A furnace tests the hardening of steel when it's dipped, so wine tests arrogant quarrel. If taken in moderation, wine makes people's lives better. Moderation. It says, what's life to those who don't have wine? What is life? Even don't you enjoy? He said, occupy, enjoy your life. Have a glass of wine, but not in excess. Verse 28 says, the right amount of wine consumed at the right time makes for a joyful heart and a light spirit. Too much wine drunk in the midst of strife and conflict makes for a bitter spirit. Listen to that. Getting drunk when things are bad and people are fighting. Getting drunk causes fools to lose their temper and do themselves harm, reducing their strength and adding injuries as well. Don't correct your neighbors at a wine banquet. And he's saying when you're going to have wine, kick it with your friends, don't start getting on people and telling them about themselves and talking about stuff you entertain the battle. Let me finish reading. And don't show them contempt when they are drinking. Don't say any reproachful word to them, and don't trouble them with any demands. And that's exactly what people do when they start having wine. They do completely the opposite, which is what leads to all the problems and fights at all your pagan family festivals, gatherings, birthday parties. Come over, we're kicking it, we're having fun. No, there's elephants all in the room waiting to just explode. But anyway, that's the wisdom for the day, blueprint for life. I hope that you enjoyed that. Next week, we'll probably just stick to Let My People Go, part two. Give me one moment. Next week in the part two, Most High willing, Let My People Go, as I mentioned, we'll probably spend the whole hour breaking down the next three requests from Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, and we'll get to see the time lapse. So people, the process started some time ago to say, when will you give us ours and acknowledge what you did? Now we're getting to the point where they're like, acknowledge who we are as a people. And they, every time somebody comes out that's one of theirs who signed one of their contracts, they take them in the back and spank them on the hand, like in Nick Cannon's and all these other people. Or they call us anti-Semitic when it's Shemitic, and we are Shem. We are Shem, so how could we be that way? Absolutely. Makes no sense at all. Let's close out in prayer before we get ready to go. Shemai Yasha Allah Ahaya. Alahaya Nava Ahaya Akkad. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our God is one. Father, I thank you for our people, and I pray that they will better prepare themselves and look with a spiritual eye. He that has an eye to see, ears to hear, understand this prophetic event and times that we're living in, and be prepared for your soon return, and to keep their focus on not, oh, just give me some reparations, pay me and lust for gold, like Sirach 31 said, but look for our deliverance of our people and the remnant from the four corners of the earth. We need your power. Break the strongholds of your people of lust and drugs that are struggling. Deliver the remnant that you already have set, whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we pray for those who've lost their way that they still have time to repent and come back to you. We align ourselves up with the angels to do battle in the forces in this spiritual realm. And we rebuke the enemy, knowing that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And greater is that that's in us than anything in the world. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Hey, listen, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat shalom. All praises to the Most High. We love you. Peace and blessings.